the power of God unto salvation, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He was raised again for our justification, and all we tell people to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we who want to preach that as our gospel should never mix gospels. And you can't try to get that man Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 into the body of Christ without mixing gospels. It won't work. Don't do that. God Almighty gave us a set of instructions that says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He told us to consider what Paul said, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. And He told us, among other things, that unless we take all Scripture as being profitable, we are going to become unprofitable. And I shortened a lot of verses to get to that. In other words, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Well, then take it all. But don't put it where it doesn't belong. And don't claim it is something when it's not something. Just let it say what it says. You know, what always gets me about that is it always seems like a simple thing to me that the Lord wrote this thing down and preserved it. What a magnificent job the Lord did in causing sinful, sorry, good-for-nothing, stinking men like murderers and blasphemers and adulterers to write down His Word exactly the way He wanted it written down, and then use the same bunch of people, not the same ones, but the same kind of people to preserve it, lo, these 2,000 years. And here we are with this preserved Word of God, and men say, well, I don't believe that. The audacity of saying, I believe it ought to mean this. I believe it should have said that. I believe a better word would have been. Ain't no better words. The Lord said it just right. It seems such a simple thing to me to just say, I believe that. Just let it say it. I believe that. Notice, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 10. This is the context, or the text rather, that I'm referring to. It seems to me that those who would say that Cornelius, the man in this chapter, is in the body of Christ, they do a disservice to several things about the body and several things about God's will. I've had people tell me that I don't have the right to say that I know what God's will is. And so I quote them the verse that said God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And they'll say, that don't prove anything. I still just believe the verse, don't you? Whether it proves anything to them or not, I still just believe the verse. Well, just let it. Just let it lie there. Just believe it. Likewise, here's a guy in Acts chapter 10, and he gets bandied around a lot. And the people that want him to be something that he's not, They have to alter something else. That's a dangerous thing. Don't do that either. It would be a certain failing in Scripture if we could claim that a kingdom message preached to a man by a kingdom preacher put that man into the body of Christ when the kingdom preacher himself cannot be in the body of Christ. That'd be a strange thing to claim. And that is one of the things that gets claimed. It is also sort of a forgotten thing. I mean, here's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, His crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and the book of Acts begins to unfold out here. And as it unfolds, the Apostle Paul, Saul the blasphemer, is saved in Acts chapter 9. We're in Acts. Then you come to 10, and Peter is preaching. So people say, well, Peter in Acts chapter 10 knew what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 9. I'm not sure he did. A man told me on the phone about 2 years ago, about a year ago. He said, Paul went from Damascus back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9 and preached Peter the gospel of Christ. I said, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Finally, I said, why are you saying that? He said, why are you saying that? I said, I got the Bible in Acts chapter 9 open. I had plenty of time saying, no, he didn't. You know, I got the Bible in Acts chapter 9 open in front of me. I'm reading the words. There is no gospel of Christ preached in Jerusalem by Paul. He says, well, what do you think he would have told him? I said, it ain't a matter of what I think. Why would I want to drag into this whole conversation what I think? Oh, I said, you think he did? Well, of course he did. I said, no, you can't say that. If the Bible doesn't tell you a thing, and it never, ever does tell you that Paul told Peter the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 9, then don't say he did. I don't care what you believe. I'll give a flip what you believe. Say what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, when Saul went back to Jerusalem, I don't reckon there's too many happy days there. It didn't look like it to me. Nevertheless, people think that because Acts 10 comes after Acts chapter 9, that settles it. No. There's a lots of time. If that's the case, tell me now. No, please don't enter into a conversation about this. I just want you to think about it. Tell me now. Is it necessary for the 1,000-year reign of Christ to have the city of Zion come down to the earth? Yes, it is. Well, the 1,000-year reign of Christ is in Revelation 20, and the city comes down in Revelation 21. What do you think of that? Just because the Lord preserved it that way doesn't mean you have to say, this is chronological, just like this. No, no. Acts chapter 10 and the events of Peter going to Cornelius could have happened after Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, but because they weren't saved by the same gospel, they don't have to have any interrelationship at all. Period. None whatsoever. Now, here in Acts chapter 10, I want you to see this guy for a moment, this Cornelius. Look what he is. Verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now I want you to look at verse 2 again. Here's God Almighty's Bible, a Bible written by Jewish men, 53 of the books in the Bible written on account of God's blessing to Abraham and all the Jews, including the nation of Israel, after him. 53 books all about just that. They even intertwine themselves into the other 13 books about three times, so that it's very important to understand what God is doing with Israel and the descendants of Abraham. And this verse says something that every descendant of Abraham would understand, that this Cornelius was a devout man. That meant that he was devout unto or towards the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Count on it. You can find Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob mentioned in the same verse in your Bible many, many times. And the people, also a term always meaning the people of Israel. If the term you read in the Bible says the people without naming another country or another tribe or whatever, that means that term the people was always about Israel, only available to you in a King James Bible. And the people would have known point blank what this guy was devout towards. And then look, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. This guy was a contributor to the problems of Israel. He was, solving the problems of Israel. He was a contributor to their synagogues. He was a contributor to those who knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How would you otherwise have identified that he gave much alms to the people? The Bible helps you identify all of this on purpose. This man, a devout man, feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always, never deserved the confusion that has risen about him. So the Lord thought enough of this man to send an angel of God into his house to talk to him, told him to send for Peter. Did not tell him to send for Paul. Told him to send for Peter. So he sends to get Peter. Peter don't want to go. Look in verse 13. There came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." You know the story. That goes on again. Now notice in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision. I'm sorry. Verse 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Look at the preparation the Lord made just to get Peter to go to this guy's place. You know what? That is closely akin to what the Lord had to talk Jonah into in the book of Jonah. It's closely akin to how the Lord had to show Elijah that there were 7,000 men that had never bowed the knee to Baal. Right here is Peter, who about five chapters earlier did what Jimmy was talking about this morning when he spoke with words and a man died, spoke again, the man's wife died. That's power. And that power came from God, as Jimmy was pointing out this morning. Well, bless your soul, here's this guy up on the rooftop scratching his head about what to do. And the Lord sent an angel to one of them and a vision to the other one and said, "Go." Well, Peter's obedient, so he goes. Now watch over in verse 27. "And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together." Here's Peter and Cornelius together. "And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come under one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me." Are you kidding me? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying, "For what intent did you send?" I'm sorry, I can't imagine that. Why do you suppose he said that? Because he had to have a sign. If he didn't get a sign, he wouldn't know what to do. I'm not pulling your leg. He's a Jew. Jews require a sign. And so Cornelius tells him the story. An angel showed up, on and on and on. So Peter begins to preach to him. Now here he is, Acts chapter 10. And back here in Acts chapter 2, Peter stood and preached with the 12 and 3 and 4 and 5 and on and on. Now he is here in 10. Let's see if he says anything different. Turn back to Acts 2. In Acts 2, Peter begins to preach and he accuses these people of doing the very thing they really were guilty of. Verse 22. Verse 14 first. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem." Well, those are obviously Jews, right? "You men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem." Verse 5. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Now notice the kind of Jews they were. They come from all these nations. Start in verse 9 with me. "Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Cappadocians, Pontusians, whatever, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, Libya, Cyrene." And then notice what it says. "And strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians." A whole bunch of them. All of them Jews. including the proselyte. But what was a proselyte before he became a Jew? He was a Gentile. Go back to chapter 10. Verse 1. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. It does not tell you he was a proselyte. I know a fellow wrote me a thing one time about 129 pages long, wanted me to read it. And he said, in the opening paragraph, I was so thankful for this, he said, now, if you're one of those that does not believe that Cornelius was circumcised, you probably won't like the rest of it. So I just put it up on the shelf. I don't believe he's... I mean, why would I want to read that? I don't believe he's circumcised. I got no scripture tells me he was circumcised. I got no scripture that tells me he was a proselyte. I've only got scripture that tells me that he was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, and that he was one of another nation that Peter was forced to go talk to. And that's what I've got about it. I mean, come on, you want more history about Cornelius? You're going to have to make it up. Look at verse 34. Peter starts preaching to him. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. If you went back and enumerated the things... In Acts chapter 2, there was baptism, there was repentance, there was saving one's self. Save yourself, he told them. And there was selling out. I don't know how that would have played into this, but when you get over here, Peter said, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted of him. Well, you can prove by the Bible that repentance and water baptism and saving yourselves from an untoward generation and selling out are all works of righteousness. Well, he just put it right there in that one capsule. Fear God, work righteousness. How many of you, just before you got saved, figured out how much you fear you had of God, and I guarantee you, don't you tell me you feared God, you feared going to hell. And how many of you figured out what your works of righteousness was? If you're saved, you didn't figure that out. Because you're not saved by works. And I'll get back to that in a moment. Bless your soul, Peter told this guy that in every nation, including the one Cornelius was from, he that feared God and worked righteousness was accepted with him. Now here's the deal. Jesus was here for 3 years. Preaching. Notice verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know. Did Cornelius know the word that God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ? Did Cornelius know that word? Yes, he did. Come on, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You just read the verse. You mean to tell me Cornelius was already a believer in Jesus? He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. And he knew the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. If he knew that, and he was a devout man, feared God, gave alms, didn't he know Jesus Christ? And Peter told him, a man who knew Jesus Christ, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Don't change it. Just believe it. That's all. Just believe it. You see, here's the thing. What happens later in the chapter doesn't seem to matter much to people. It is a fact. As I mentioned, and it's quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Jews require a sign. They get a scene. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Look in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because that on the Lord, or that on the Gentiles also, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Here's a man who's got to fear God and work righteousness, and Peter looks around at the rest of the Jews standing there and says, can any man forbid water? Well, no, you couldn't, because that was one of the works of righteousness. By the way, did you notice that Cornelius was not asked to repent? Well, if you want to do a little speculation, since he knew who Jesus was, did he already know he needed to repent? Or had he already repented? I mean, come on. The verse said he knew him. Now notice, chapter 11, Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and the Jews there, they want to know what Peter's doing going to that guy Cornelius. The same man now, a few chapters earlier, who said, you do so-and-so, uh-huh, you die. You also do so-and-so, uh-huh, you die. Now the people in Jerusalem are going to question him about what the Lord has sent him to do. Well, it's not particularly there to make Peter look bad in your Bible. It's there to get you to understand how come things changed. Jack talked earlier about the leavens meaning confusion. Marvelous sermon by my brother Jack, by the way. Don't get to say that too much. People think I'm playing favoritism. It was a great sermon. In Acts chapter 11, confusions in Jerusalem, and the confusions in Antioch later, and only our apostle Paul could straighten out the confusion. Now here's the thing. They make Peter tell the story. So he does. Look down at verse 15. Acts chapter 11, verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Oh, wait a minute. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, Cornelius and his household, as on us at the beginning. Where was the beginning? Acts chapter 2. How many did the Holy Spirit fall upon there? 12. As on us at the beginning. Were they baptized with the Holy Spirit back here? Was Cornelius baptized with the Holy Spirit here? Yes. That sound like gospel of Christ stuff to you? Nope. Well, here's the deal. Since Cornelius was not a lost man, he was like the Jews who were standing there listening to Peter in Acts chapter 2. Oh, I know he wasn't a Jew, but he was like them. So Peter preached. They said, what must we do? And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which they did, chapter 4, verse 31. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, and as many as the Lord God, our God should call, and on and on. You see, here's the thing. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost fell on the 12 apostles. In Acts chapter 10, the Holy Ghost fell upon Cornelius. If it was as it with us in the beginning, then Cornelius was baptized with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, quote it with me. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're not baptized with the Spirit. We're baptized by the Spirit. These people, the 12, Cornelius, were baptized by Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. You are baptized by the Spirit into Jesus Christ. You can't make those things be the same. Now here's the biggie that I haven't even mentioned because it's almost so apparent there's no need to. But here it is. I don't know how anyone could believe that Cornelius was in the church, the body of Christ, since no one told him Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was raised for your justification. Nobody told him that. He never heard that. Peter never told him that. So in walks this strange picture, see, of whether or not since it's Acts chapter 10 and Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, would that make a difference? Well, no, that don't make no difference. Because the man, Peter, only had one gospel to preach. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. And here's the other side of the coin. There are a lot of people, and they believe a lot of the grace message and praise God for it, and they preach the gospel of Christ and praise God for it, but in their process of getting their story told, they say things that I don't believe are true, and they misuse the Scripture to do so. There are many who do not believe that there was a continuation of the apostles' doctrine after Acts chapter 9. Well, pray tell, what would this have been about then in Acts chapter 15 when Paul tells the story about Acts chapter 15 here? And in telling this story, he leaves the apostles, the 11 apostles, he leaves them with their doctrine and takes his doctrine, and the two groups never cross paths again until Paul goes back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21. The groups don't cross paths. Galatians chapter 2. There's been this meeting in Jerusalem. You can read about it in Acts 15. Paul said the ones there in Jerusalem didn't add anything to him, but contrarywise, concerning his own words, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they, the people in Jerusalem, saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. In Acts chapter 15, written in Galatians chapter 2, did Peter have the gospel of the circumcision? Yes, he did. Verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, toward Paul. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Paul and Barnabas are going to go unto the heathen. What gospel you think Paul and Barnabas are going to preach to the heathen? The gospel of Christ. And they unto the circumcision. What gospel you think Peter and the 12 or the apostles are going to preach to the circumcision? It's not going to be the gospel of Christ, is it? And this is Acts 15, let alone thinking about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. These two ministries never switched. They never changed. You won't find one word where the Lord ever said to Peter, James, John, the rest of the other apostles, you will not find one word where he was told or they were told to ever preach anything besides the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the circumcision. They were never told to. Your Bible would have been remiss, God would have been remiss, if he had let that occur and not told you about it. So people say, well, what do you think happened to that group? I think they died. Near as I can tell, they died. What do you think happened to the fact that it didn't continue? Well, I think most of them died in Jerusalem, but that's speculation. The fact that they died is not speculation. The fact that they died in Jerusalem might be speculation. And so, well, what about all those people Peter preached to up there in Pontus and Bithynia and Cappadocia and all those places? I don't know. How would I know? I know what Peter said to them in 1 Peter chapter 1. I know how he dealt with them there. He talked to them about redemption, but not atonement. He talked to them about waiting till the Lord come back to have their sins forgiven, as the New Testament, the New Covenant promised, and on and on. I don't know anything except what's written. Say, well, what do you think about? It's not a matter of what I think. It's not a matter of what you think. It's a matter of what did the Lord say. As concerning whether or not Cornelius could be in the body of Christ, if anybody can get out of this tonight, or any other sermon about it, that Cornelius was in the body of Christ, well, I reckon you're just going to have to go ahead and preach it. But I'm not. I'm not about to. I'm not going to claim something for the body of Christ that is not scriptural. And I'm not going to take anything with me to prove something about the body of Christ that is not scriptural. I'm just interested in what it says. And just for the sake of, this is not a commercial, but I want you to know something. I'm going to do this, and you better pray about it, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to foul the whole thing up. But on the 30th of September and the 1st of October, on a Friday night and a Saturday in Houston, I'm going to do a seminar type of arrangement and just teach the book of Acts for about 6 hours. And I'm going to do it again in Kentucky if they're not too mad at me after tonight. On the October the 28th and the 29th. I'm not trying to be a circuit, you know, I'm trying to make a seminar money, you know, that's $600 a head. That's not bad. I'm not trying to do that, but I am going to do this. I'm going to do this seminar and see how it goes. As far as those two dates go, that's pretty well set. Better be set. I bought an airline ticket. I don't know if I'll do any more, but those two will not be recorded. At this moment, what I see that as is a reason to be in the book of Acts, go through it, not to be smart about the book of Acts, but to be able to separate the two Gospels that are found there in the New Testament, to not fail to rightly divide the Word of Truth, and to be more sure of what the Lord has for us. I thank you for your time. I hope it's a blessing to you.